Well, thank you very much for sharing that, folks. I appreciate that very much. Paul, thank you for your prayers for that team as they serve. That's always a challenge. I've been on several of those myself, and it's a lot of fun. It never works out the way you plan, does it, Joe?
Never.
You make all the plans, but we're going to look a little bit at that in the text today that kind of fits in with what we just experienced and looked at. So if you have your copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn to Colossians 2, verses 16 through 23. And if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning? Colossians 2, verses 16 through 23. The apostle is writing to the church at Colossae, and he says, "Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink in respect to festival or new moon or Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions that he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of this world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have for to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence." Would you pray with me, Father? We thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of the apostles that he speaks to us today. I pray, Father, you use this time as I share your word, Father, to speak gracefully to each of us and remind us of who you are and what you've done. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I hope you had a great week last week with me away. We enjoyed the beach very much. And like you always say with vacation, it's never long enough. Amen. And we enjoyed our time down there, but we're grateful. I'm grateful you got to hear from Mark Dooley, who shared with you last week. I know he did a wonderful job. I've got to listen to the message since then. I'm thankful for his time with you. Also, what I didn't think about, when I'm looking ahead and planning messages that I kind of, we had some days that we missed because of other stuff going on. And this was actually the second part of a message I preached 2 weeks ago. So can you remember what I said 2 weeks ago? Okay, a couple of you and the rest of you are laughing, which is really the way it works, right? We don't remember. So this is kind of the second half of it, so it's going to seem a little strange to some of you. Maybe all my messages seem strange to you. I really don't know. That's fine. But as we look at the text, I want you to think back a little bit on the first part of Colossians 2, where Paul is talking about all these things about the sufficiency of what Jesus has done for us and that the cross is enough and why he shares that. And he kind of concludes the text here towards the end that what we'll look at today as a reminder to focus on things that matter to God and not on things that matter to us. Now, I know that's not a problem for us here in North America. We're really good about focusing on what matters to God, and we don't really worry about traditions and things that make us feel comfortable, do we? Not at all. But let's pretend that, for a moment this morning, that maybe Paul's talking a little bit to us, and a reminder, as he talks to these believers, there was a struggle they were facing. You've probably heard me talk about a group of individuals that were around that part of the world in Colossae and other parts of the Roman Empire teaching a doctrine that was not true. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, we won't just beat around the bush. Let's be honest. It was not a true doctrine. They were known as the Judaizers. And what the Judaizers were trying to tell people was, it's good to know Jesus and accept Jesus and experience his change in your life, but unless you practice all the teachings of the law as well, you are not a believer. So unless you go to take part of all the feasts, you celebrate all the festivals, you do all the different things, and in their big case, it was one of the observations of the Jewish rite of circumcision and all the different things that went, you had to do that in order to be a Christian, not just accept the teachings of Christ. And Paul is coming as a former Jew himself and a follower of Christ and saying that is crazy. That's really what he's been talking about with the church at Colossae here. As you look through the entire book of Colossians in the letter, that's really the focus of that, is for them to focus that it's really, and understand it's really all about what Christ has done for you. And the reason that you and I are members of the family of God has absolutely nothing to do with where we are born or what we look like or our racial heritage. It has everything to do with what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. It's all about what he has accomplished. And that's what Paul wanted them to understand then. And we need to understand that as well. That oftentimes we settle for less than what God has for us. And I love what we just saw just a few moments ago as a reminder that God is calling all of us to kingdom service. Did you know that? Not just the folks that went on the mission trip, not just pastors and Sunday school teachers and other leaders, but every one of us in the body of Christ is called to kingdom ministry. We are all a part of what God is doing in the world around us as he gives us opportunity, whether we're an adult, a child, or wherever we are on the spectrum in life, God has purposes and plans for each and every one of our lives, and He's using our lives for the sake of His kingdom. And we are all about that together, and not just South End Baptist Church, you realize, but all the churches who preach the Word of God and preach the gospel are a part of the great kingdom of God. And all across this county, all across this country, all across the globe, at different times, according to time zones this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ will be worshiping our Lord and Savior in very different formats. Did you know that? A worship service in Romania is going to look a lot different than one here. I know I've been to one in Romania. That's why I picked on them. Now, I have not been to Africa, to Nigeria or Ethiopia or any of those countries, but I know that the worship service there is a little different than what we experience here. Would you agree with me? And maybe some of us wouldn't be as comfortable in those services. We definitely wouldn't know how to understand that kind of heat. That's a different kind of heat over in that part of the world. But the reality is those brothers and sisters like us are worshiping God, and God is experiencing and hearing all of that worship and accepting all of that worship regardless of format, regardless of style, regardless of language. Because there is not one language that we all, speak to God. And I love that about the kingdom. I love that God is able to listen. God can listen to someone's prayer in Swahili just as well as He can listen to my prayer in English and someone else's prayer in Portuguese or Spanish or Cantonese or whatever language you want to come up with. He listens to it, and it's all as if every one of us is speaking to Him, that we are speaking to Him directly. And He understands us clearly. And that's the beauty of the kingdom. That's the beauty of what Paul, I think, is trying to talk about with us here this morning as we look in this text and we begin to focus on what He desires, what our Savior desires for us, what He's trying to accomplish in and through our lives. That we not settle for what we think is best, but that we trust that God is using us to accomplish His purposes in our lives. Because the faith that we seek to practice is not based upon principles. It is not based upon tradition. It is not based upon the teachings of man. It is based upon the person of Jesus Christ. If it's based on anything else other than Christ, it is not Christian. Does that make sense? It's not honoring God, because it's our relationship with Him that changes us. It's not the fact that we go to church and that we've been baptized or that we know the right 5 answers on the test. What matters is that we know Christ. It's that relationship with Him that transforms us from children of darkness to children of light, that makes us members of the family of God. We are literally adopted. I was reading another text this morning. We are engrafted into the olive tree, the family of God, by the work of God because of what Christ has done in us. What a beautiful image that is for us to think about that. We are a part of God's family because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross. And every one of us who are believers in Christ here and across the globe have that incredible opportunity to be the part of something that is far bigger than we'll understand it goes beyond even what's going on right now. Think about believers who have been worshiping Christ for hundreds, if not thousands of years, since the first century. It puts us in kinship in relation to the Apostle Paul and the believers to whom he's speaking in Colossae at this very time when he writes this letter. Those brothers and sisters, one day we will worship together with them and experience the glory of our Savior and all that is. That's what heaven's about. Can you imagine what kind of worship services they have in heaven? Can you imagine? Because it's not just about us sitting there and singing. We're in the presence of the King of Glory. We're in the presence of the living God. I don't know. I know a lot of people like to say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to... Yeah, right. None of us know how we'll react. We're in the presence of the one who made us. The one who is absolutely pure and holy, the one who is beyond understanding, the one who has brought us into his family, the one who has done everything for us. When we stand, if we stand, I don't know if I'll be able to stand, to be honest with you, in the presence of our King, what will that be like? And we have a picture and a practice of that here. That's why we gather for worship as a reminder today, and we do that every week, as a reminder that one day we will stand before the King and worship him. But even as we do that now, he's still the audience of our worship. He's still listening to us even today, even though we can't see his visible presence in here. He is hearing us today. Have you ever thought about that when you come into church? If you come to church for you, you're coming for the wrong reason, because church is not about you or me. It's about Christ. It's about bringing him glory. It's about honoring him. It's about when we worship Him, when you sing, and you know what? It really doesn't. You've heard me say this, and you know it's true, but you don't want to believe it. It's not about your tonal quality, and if you get all the words right, did you know that? That God's okay with that, because God looks at your heart as you worship Him, and He wants to hear you express your love for Him. How many of you, when you've talked with people that you love very dearly, have you ever messed up on what you want to say? Anybody besides me? You know, I think back, guys, to that time when you may have made that big decision to propose to the woman that you're married to, and you get all tongue-tied, and you've got it all written out, maybe, and you're ready to go, and you've got it all planned out, and it doesn't work exactly as you planned, and yet she still says yes, right? It's a good thing, isn't it, for us? But the beauty of that is, see, it's not because the woman, why does she say yes? Because she knows your heart. And if she can see that, if a person can see that, how much more can the King of the universe know your heart as you worship Him? So whenever we gather together to worship, let me encourage you to remember it's not about gathering together for us. You're not gathering together to impress Chelsea or me or anyone else or the person next to you. You're gathering together to worship your Creator. Worship Him with a whole heart. Express your love for Him in whatever fashion God leads you to do in that moment, and express it, and let Him be the one, because He's the audience this morning. A lot of times we think you're the audience and those of us on stage are the performers. Well, you're getting really ripped off then if I'm your performer. I'm just telling you. There are people that are a lot better than me. But you're not the audience this morning. There is an audience here. And He's the one we all worship. He's the one we all want to honor. He's the one who we want to show Him gratitude and thanksgiving for all He has done for us. And we worship Him. And that's how we express that to Him, is through the times of worship that we have together. And Paul wanted these believers to understand a lot about who they were, that this life that you live, all these different things. And see, like I said, they were all caught up in what they should eat and what they should wear and all these different things that they thought mattered to them, because culturally that's the way it worked. And he's trying to tell them, it's not about those things you think it's about. It's all about Christ. It's all about a relationship with the Savior. It's all about what He has done in your life. It's not about anything else but Him. But yet, even today, we struggle. We think that in order to be a follower of Christ, we have to add things to it. There is various denominations, one in particular, I won't mention it, but they really love to harp on the fact that you have to be baptized to be saved. And they quote a scripture out of context, by the way, out of a part of the gospel that's a little bit questionable as whether it was in the original text or not. Well, that's the whole other, if you want to talk about it in more detail, I would love to. And that's what they base their whole theology around as a church. And it's scary. And they go and browbeat others that don't agree. And I've had some rather, let's just say, some interesting discussions with pastors and leaders from this denomination. And I believe that they're followers of Christ. I believe that on other issues, they understand the Word of God. But on this one, they've just missed the mark. That's why I wouldn't be a part of their denomination for any reason. Now, they're good people, not bad people. But a lot of times we get so caught up, and we're really good as Baptists sometimes about doing that too, aren't we? We focus on things that aren't essential to salvation, and yet because culturally or because of something in us, we want to make them so important that they matter more to us than even our own relationship. Now, would you say that the ways that we observe the Lord's Supper are the only way to do it? I wouldn't. I hope you don't. If you've been in other parts of the country, do you know they do things differently in Louisiana than they do it here? Yeah, they talk funny too, don't they? You've heard them. They do it differently. Obviously, in other parts of the world, they do it differently. I've been privileged to lead communion in Romania, in Belarus, and the most fun was I got to do it in El Salvador twice. That was fun. Did it on Easter, over Easter Sunday. That was really cool one time. And it was just an amazing experience because the pastor was gone, and so the associate pastor didn't feel comfortable doing it, so she said, You're ordained. Will you do that? I said, sure, I'll do it. But I did it just like we do it. I didn't know else to do it because, you know, I'm a Baptist, right? You know, American Baptist, so whatever. I live in America. And so we do it that way, right? And it was different than they usually did it, but many of them said they appreciated that. It was just different. It was okay. Nobody died because we did it differently. Did you know that? No one had a heart attack. And yet sometimes we get caught up in certain things. We all do. All of us kind of get those things in us that we focus on. And yet, Paul wants to remind us that it's not about what we think it's about. It's all about the one who saved us. And when our relationship is about anything other than that, we begin to slip away. I want to look back at the text again here. Okay, do this to me. Yeah, I don't know, just because I wasn't there 3 seconds ago. Here we go. I want to go back into kind of starting with verse 20, where Paul talks to them. He says, if you have died with Christ, that have self-denial, to the elementary principles of this world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? Why, when you have been delivered from that, when you no longer are living in that world, why do you go back to what it was before? Why do you go back to your traditions and think that your traditions are so important that they matter more to you than the grace of God that is at work in your life? And I don't know how it is for you, but for me at times, there are times that I struggle to keep the main thing the main thing. And when we struggle as a church, it's frustrating if our focus is on anything other than Christ, isn't it? And the world outside of these walls looks at us and they want to see us expressing the love of Christ. They want to see us, they test us. And you know, a lot of times, did you know that as Christians, you're on trial in the world in which you live? Did you know that? Did you know that people are watching you, people at work, your family members who aren't believers, friends, maybe even people at the grocery store are watching you or wherever you find yourself. And they're watching you, if they know you're a Christian, to kind of see, is it real? Because a guy far smarter than me once said this, that the greatest single cause for atheism in the world today, are you ready for this? Is believers who honor him with their lips, but their lives deny his work. We hear it all the time, right? Christians are hypocrites, right? Let me just relieve you of that burden. Everybody's a hypocrite. Amen? We've all got elements of hypocrisy in us in different ways. It's right. I mean, just think about it. We all say one thing and do another. That's what people do. That's one of the curses of being human. That's what we do. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we're as best as possible to emulate the teachings of our Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. It doesn't always work out the way we wish, and we don't always do it perfectly. I understand that. But to submit and surrender to him so that he's able to live through us and others can see his light, his love, and his grace in us, and sometimes in spite of us. I know personally many of the most amazing ministry times that I've experienced, the most amazing things I've seen God do, weren't because of me, they were often in spite of me. That God showed up whether I was ready for him or not. I may not have been as prepared as I should have been, or as prayed up as I should have been, or whatever, and yet God showed up and did what God did, often in spite of me. And I was just grateful to be in the room. Because when the king shows up, that's an amazing experience. And many of you have experienced that probably at different times in your life as a follower of Christ, I hope. If you haven't, I pray maybe today or soon that will happen for you. Because it changes our perspective. It gets us off of what is about us and understand why we're here. And oftentimes we settle for what is good for us, what is comfortable for us, what makes us feel better about ourselves rather than allowing the Savior to minister and speak through us and to use us in a way that might make a huge difference in the life of another person. And Paul was struggling with these believers and trying to help them understand the importance that it's not about your rules and rituals. It's not about the things you think it's about. It's all about your relationship with Christ. Don't worry about those things. These are self-made things. They're things, as he says, that have the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion. I love that. And self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. They will not help you in your walk at all. They will not enable you to become a more faithful follower of Christ. They're just something you do. And one of the dangers in being a follower of Christ, especially in a place like America where it is kind of somewhat accepted, and so many of us have been around doing it for a while, is that we sometimes get caught into doing the things that we like to do because we've always done them that way, right? What's the Baptist motto? We've always done it that way, right? Well, other denominations try to say that's theirs. I don't know. I've been a Baptist my whole life, so I'm thinking it's pretty Baptist. And I've heard it more than one said in more than one way in a variety of settings and situations. You know, we don't do it that way. That's not the way we do it. And it's interesting how we get to that point. And I think Paul struggled with it then. What do you think this whole disagreement is about that he's talking about in Colossians? They've always done it this way. For over thousands of years, they've been doing it this way. This is the way we follow God. This is what we do. We have these rituals. We have this tradition. We do it this way. And now you're telling us we don't have to do that anymore? Really? But we've always done it that way. I can hear the crowd say that. So I really believe Baptists have been around longer. I'm just kidding. That's a joke, all right? But that mindset was there. And all along, Paul is trying to encourage them, don't focus on things that don't matter, that are only of temporal significance. Focus on what matters of eternal significance, and that is your relationship with Christ through, with God through Christ. Let that transforming relationship help you understand and see your life not from your perspective or culture's perspective, but from God's perspective. You know, at the very beginning, I talked about this morning, the audience of this service is who? Let's see if you were listening. Who's the audience today? God. There you go, God. The creator of the universe is watching us. Have you thought about that lately when we're in worship? It's to him all of this is about. As we sing to him, as you listen to me, as I speak, all these things are to point to him. He is the audience this morning, not us, not you. I'm not performing for you today. I'm simply sharing the word and giving the word and hoping that that exalts and honors the one who is watching us. Now, I don't use that term to make it like it, to make it sound like he's just kind of waiting for us to mess up, because he wouldn't have to wait long in my case, and probably in many of yours as well. But the beauty of it is that this together expresses our love to him, doesn't it? In a way that we can't really quantify, in a way that we can't really define, in a way that we just can't make it work the way we want it to sometimes, and yet God is glorified in it. Because oftentimes when things don't work out as planned is when God is most glorified, I believe. Because when it doesn't work out the way we plan, we have to not so much lean on our own abilities and our own expectations and our own whatevers, but we allow the Holy Spirit to have his place and to lead us in ways that we're not expecting. And God literally interrupts what we are doing and maybe interrupts us and helps us to turn our focus off of what we're trying to accomplish so that he is glorified and exalted either through or in spite of us. And I've seen that happen more than once. And one of my favorite experiences where I saw that happen, I was just in the room. We had an associational youth camp. You know what that is? That's where a bunch of churches, it'd be like if we did in Blue Ridge, we got all the churches together, all the kids together, and we had a little week-long camp somewhere here in the area, and, you know, taught and preached, just had camps all day, you know, had services and had games and just crazy stuff, just that we would do that. That's what we did, and it was a big thing. We'd have about 200 kids at our associational youth camp, and the big night of service was always Thursday. You know, it's Monday through Friday, and Friday's pretty much pack up and leave. Friday morning, because we had to be out of the camp before noon. So Thursday night was our last big service, and we were all ready to go, and guess what happened? We had a thunderstorm. And not just a typical Midwestern thunderstorm, we had tornado warnings in the area. So we had the kids all huddled in the only place in the camp that had a quasi-basement. And I say that, it wasn't a real basement, but it was the safest place we could put 200 kids and the adults and everybody. And it was like sardines, but not the game that's fun, it was a nightmare. Because if you can imagine, after 4 days of youth camp, the smells in that room, all right? And washing clothes was not an option because we didn't have a washer and dryer, you know, on the camp. Just didn't. Well, they had one, but they wouldn't let us use it. It was just for the, you know, whatever, the table covering. I don't know. It was weird, but we couldn't use it. But anyway, you know how it is when you get middle school boys and they've been around, you know, often. I'm sorry I'm picking on, I know we got a middle school boy here, but I've been a middle school boy, and, you know, I didn't really think showering was all that important. And we had a lot of those boys that were like that. But I know, Ethan, you do better than that, right? And it was a struggle. But that night as we gathered together, finally the storm passed, and we had no power. We had a couple generators, they weren't working because of what had happened. The storm was pretty bad. Fortunately, we didn't have a tornado in the area. It was tornado warnings. You know how that all works. We have those here. We got all the kids out, and we still wanted to have a worship service, so we went to the building that we had the worship service in, got all those kids in there, no lights, no videos, no band. What are we going to do? It's the last night. I mean, it's the best night, right? It's the night you want to see God move. This is all our plans are laid out. We think we got it. I mean, we had the service like you do. You script it out. You know what's going on. had a skit planned, all these different things we had planned. We didn't know what to do. And a young man that was one of my students played the guitar, and he said, I'll tell you what, I'll just do it. I got a guitar, acoustic, don't need any electricity, and we'll just see what happens. And we'll do a testimony night. You know what those are, right? Testimony where people just share, and you got a bunch of middle school and high school kids sharing. And so Nathan started us off, and he just started leading the singing, and we were singing some choruses, and it was an incredible atmosphere. And for light, we had a few flashlights. Cell phones weren't as prevalent then as they are now. This was back in the dark ages of the 90s, okay? So we had other ways, but we had all different flashlights to kind of create a little bit of light in this building. But it was an amazing time of worship. Sang, I don't know, it seemed like we sang for a half hour to an hour. We just kept singing. And then we did some popcorn testimonies, and it was just amazing how God spoke. And then we did a time, as we're Baptists, we have to do an invitation, right? It's just required. It's what we do. And we had 9 kids get saved that night. Was that because we had a great speaker and we had a great band and all the video? No, that's because the Holy Spirit showed up. And in spite of our best plans, God did what God does. And that often works in our own lives. And you can probably think back to times in your own life when you thought you had this all mapped out. You thought you had everything the way you wanted it to work out, and it didn't work out the way you'd planned. Has that ever happened to anyone else? And then God shows up and God does what only God can do. And life change happens. People are changed. People are touched by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes, as Baptists and Protestants as a whole in America, we try to leave the Holy Spirit to the Pentecostals, much to our detriment. And forget that as followers of Christ, we're all Pentecostal. Okay? Maybe not in denomination, but from a historical perspective, it's after Pentecost. That's what we're about. That's what Pentecostal means. It's those who have been experienced the presence of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit through the Pentecostal experience that you see laid out in Acts. We all follow that. It's what enables us to serve. It's what enables us to sing. It's what enables us to do what we do. It enables me to preach. It enables me to proclaim the Word of God. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that I'm able to do it. It's not by my abilities, my whims, and my talents, but by His power. And when we lose sight of that, we forget what it's about as followers of Christ. It's all about accomplishing and allowing Him to do what He desires to do in and through our lives today. Now, what does that look like for us here at South End Baptist Church out here in Frederick, Maryland? I don't know. And that's okay. But I do know this. When the Holy Spirit is unleashed in the body of Christ, things will happen. When God is freed in our midst, and He shows up and does what only He can do, it's different than what we usually expect. And brothers and sisters, I believe what the American church and South End, all churches in general in this part of the world, desperately need isn't better planned worship services. No, those are good. It isn't better singers. It isn't better preachers. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need to unleash Him and let Him go and quit trying to restrict Him in our lives. And it starts not so much with a service, but it starts with us. When we say, God, I'll follow You as long as You don't make me do this. I'm sure none of you ever said that, right? God, I'll do anything You want but this. I can remember for me. I like picking on myself because I know I shouldn't offend anybody when I pick on myself, I guess, right? Maybe I do. I don't know. It's okay. But I can remember when I was wrestling with the call to ministry and what I was supposed to do, I said, God, I'll do whatever You want me to do. Just don't make me a pastor. Well, I told Him. I said, I'll do anything, Lord. I'll be a missionary. I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'll be a youth minister. I'll do whatever. Well, I said, pastor and music minister. Don't make me be a music minister because I don't want to hurt people. My singing's bad, okay? And I don't know anything about music. I'm not tone deaf. I know what it's supposed to sound like. It just doesn't sound like that when it comes out of my mouth. You understand that? You do not want me leading you in worship. I'm just going to tell you that. I love you too much to do that to you, all right? And so I had all these caveats, all these exceptions for God, and it's funny how over time God has kind of knocked those down. And he'll do that in your own life as well, won't he? You say, God, I'll follow you and I'll serve you as long as you don't ask me to do this. I'm going to just warn you from personal experience, don't ever tell God that. Because that's probably the one thing God's going to ask you to do. Maybe not forever, but for a season. And you're going to be as uncomfortable and just out of your, completely out of your zone. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. And yet it's often in those circumstances where God is most glorified. Because it's God that does the work, and we're reminded in those situations when we have to absolutely depend on him that he's the one who accomplishes it to begin with, not us. And maybe this morning some of you are struggling with that in your own walk. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what specific area you go through. That's not my job. I'll let the Holy Spirit take care of that. He's a whole lot better than that, being the Holy Spirit, than I am trying to make him be the Holy Spirit. You know that? That makes sense? But for many of you, there's something going on in your life that you've been struggling with. There's things you know God's calling you to do. I don't know what that is. It may seem very simple at the time, and it may, but to you, it's like a giant mountain. And God has asked you to surrender and say, trust me in this. I will lead you through it. And say, God, I don't know if I can do this. That's one way you can tell that God is calling you to do something. If you can't do it, and it's beyond your ability and means, there's a very real chance that it's God calling you to do it in the first place. Look throughout the pages of Scripture and you will see man and woman after man and woman who were asked by God to do something they could not do in their own strength, and yet God did something through it, right? You see it all over. Maybe he's calling upon you today. Don't know. But let this time, let the Spirit speak to you. Let him have his way in your heart and life. And listen to him and what he says. Would you pray with me, Father? We thank you for your word. I thank you for each person that's here today. And I thank you for the opportunity that we have to spend time listening to what you have to say. I thank you for the apostle and his faithful proclaiming the believers at Colossae what they needed to hear. And I hope, Father, that you've used this message in whatever way you desire to speak to someone today, in whatever way they need to respond to you. Father, you know the heart and life and experience of every person here. You know what's going on in our lives, what we're doing. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit speaks to us and moves us in the way that you need us to move, whatever that is. Bless this time and use it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.